I don't want you to cry.
I want you to cry. So the voice that you're hearing with me is AJ Armantibar.
Mm.
And he has decided to come into the studio with me to tell it like it is.
Yes, raw and real.
Raw and real, because life hasn't always been as great as it seems on social media for him.
No.
So first things first, before we get into that, who is AJ?
AJ.
AJ the performer. I want to know who AJ the performer is.
AJ the performer. AJ the performer is vibrant, alive, likes belting out those high notes, being creative, artistic. Yeah, you know, I'm just an out there guy.
And who is Armand Hubert?
Sure. I'm actually very shy. People won't say that because I come across so freaking loud. So I'm a Cancerian, but I'm an extroverted introvert. So I overcompensate most of the time.
Okay.
By, you know, I don't want to show people that I'm shy. So I'm like, hey! But actually, when I get into the car, I'm like, damn, what did I just do? So, yeah.
Does that happen to you?
All the time.
Really? Do you overthink things?
I'm a big overthinker. I'm literally, when I'm leaving here now, I'm going to overthink everything. That's just how I am. Overthink, overanalyze absolutely everything. I've learned to let go a little bit. So I just put the music even louder, but yeah, I'm pretty much an overthinker. Yeah.
So pre 2019, you were living the rock star life. Everything seemed to be going amazingly for you. Your music was playlisted. You were touring. You were performing. Your music videos looked hot. Your Instagram life looked hot.
Thank you.
And then 2019 happened, and you went through a bit of a dark patch.
Yeah, that's hectic.
Tell me about it.
First of all, I always say to people, because people are always like, yeah, it seems like you have it so together. And I even said this to my parents a few times. I wish I was that strong when I was on stage. I wish I was like that strong all the time. So many things happened in my life. First of all, I don't even know where to start. With me and my mom. My mom and my dad got divorced. And then my mom married again. And we were abused big time. Big time, you know, slapped around, choked, couldn't go to school. It was hectic.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 5 when it started, okay. You know, until the age of 9.
Wow.
That's a long time.
And no one knew?
Not a lot of people knew, no. And then when I was at school as well, I also got bullied. So
you were bullied?
I was bullied.
A whole AJ was bullied?
Yes, big time.
What were you bullied for?
For being gay.
Were you openly gay?
No.
Okay.
But I think it's. I always say to people, I can literally go to a school now and I can tell you that child's going to be gay. Because you can see it. You can see when someone is a little bit more, you know, flamboyant or just different. Mm. And I guess people saw that in me and they went at me. So, yeah, I grew up very abused, very, you know, it was tough. I couldn't focus on school. I failed because everything was a mess.
Were you embarrassed about your home situation?
Yes.
Were you?
Pretty much.
So you felt like you couldn't go to a teacher or a principal? Because we always say,
yeah,
if it's happening to you, find someone you can trust, go speak to them. But a lot of kids don't. And I feel like it could be because they're scum. They're embarrassed that it's happening in their house.
It's scary because also people have to remember, even though you go through the hardest things, your parents are still everything for you, to you. It was so embarrassing to say that.
So even if they're doing it to you,
yeah,
they're still the most important
thing. Yes, exactly. For me, it was like, because I have the most beautiful mother. I really do. She's so beautiful. She's so poised. She's always like, you know. But it was embarrassing for me to say that, yeah, like, you know, my mom and I, we're being slapped at home by my stepdad.
So you're abused at home. You're bullied at school. Where do you go? Where's your safe space?
That was music.
Okay.
That was where music came in for me. And this is where the big problem came last year. That my whole life, I never doubt the stuff.
Oh, so you left school, you were finished with everything, and you just went on with life.
Yes.
I never faced.
There was a stage where my stepdad and I, after him and my mom got divorced a few years later, he came to me and he apologized. He was crying, you know, on his knees crying, apologizing. And I said to him, well, you know, it cannot be undone what you did to me and to my mother. But I forgive you
wow.
because I understand You know, we all have problems.
We're all human.
But then I actually saw a psychologist and she said to me, remember, if you can forgive people and you can move on spiritually, emotionally, but your body never forgets.
Mm.
And I never dealt with that. So July, when I just came back from LA last year, 2019, everything just hit me.
What happened? Well, firstly, before we go into what happened, was there anything that led up to that? Like, were you more tired than usual? Did you feel, were you getting more sick than usual? Were you not lust for life? Like, what was happening with AJ from January to July?
I actually started crying out, or not crying out, saying to people around me, my team, my dancers, everyone, I said to them, I'm not okay, guys.
Oh, so you said it?
I said it. Okay. And then, you know, everyone said to me, you know, it's just a phase. It's just a phase. You're going to be all right. We all have those off days. And I said to them, no, this is something else. This is something else. And there was actually a stage, I think it was in September, where my dad and his fiance came and visited me. And then I literally shouted at them saying, I need help or I'm going to die. Because it was too hectic. I couldn't hide things anymore. Where normally I went, okay, I focused on the music, so the music's great, singing is great, that's a high. And then when I get home, I'm so depressed. But even in those highs, I couldn't cope anymore.
Really? So it got to the point where, so you would say to your dancers, because I can just try and imagine being part of your team and looking at you from that perspective. Mm. You tell me you're not okay, but then you get on stage and you kill it.
Yes.
And then you get off stage and the adrenaline is still there and you're up.
Yeah.
But I don't see you when you're alone at home and there's no applause and there's no people.
That's when it hit me.
What did that mean? What is that's when it hit me mean? What were those moments like?
For me, so I will be on stage and everything is great, and after the shows take pictures with people, and you know, it's a high, social media, blah blah blah. Even in the car still. You know, on our way back home, it's still fine, listening to music, reflecting on the shows and everything. And then as soon as I take a shower and I'm just by myself, I feel, whoa, okay. And then I just keep going until there was a show I did last year. There was the last show of 2019. I did a Queen tribute show. And I nailed it, but I felt like even that was not enough for me. I couldn't hide my depression anymore. Mm. Like, it's like something that's been in the dark for so long has to come out, and it was forced to come out, because I was always like no, I don't have time to deal with this, I'm strong, I'm better than that, it's part of my past, I've moved on. But I never really moved on. And then it just, Danny, it hit me. I cancelled shows, I cancelled time with family, I was alone on Christmas, I was alone on New Year's. It was so hard. I thought I was gonna die.
Did you ever think of dying?
Yes.
Yeah?
I did.
In that moment, what does it feel? What does that feel like? To want to do that?
It's hectic. Because it's just, nothing matters anymore. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. Nothing matters. Not family doesn't matter. Music doesn't matter. I don't matter. My animals doesn't matter. Nothing. Just, I went to a place where I was lost completely.
So when you say you spent Christmas and New Year alone, you mean completely alone?
My mom sent my sister to me, because my mom was like, you can't be alone. You're gonna, because my mom was also there. You know, there was a stage where she went to Denmark and she had to go and really like deal with everything, because it was so bad and she was pushing everyone. And she said to me, you have to have someone at least. So my sister was there, but you know, she's 15, so she's doing what she's doing. She's on her phone, chatting to her friends. So there was someone there, but I was alone.
Emotionally completely alone.
I was alone. Yeah.
When did you realize that the feelings that you were feeling weren't normal?
I've always had them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The first time I wanted to kill myself, I was 14.
What stopped you?
My dad. Because my dad is so supportive with my career. My dad was like, yeah, so I know there's so many things that happened in life and, you know, you've been through so much. So I could never go to university because I failed in school so badly. Like, it was ridiculous. So I was there was never a future for me, academic or whatever. It was always music. It was just written in the stars. But so my dad was always there pushing me, you know, with my music. So I think that kept me going at that stage, was my dad. And the people at that stage, it was like the people close to me and I want to hurt them. But when it happened again, big time, this time around, I was like, I didn't even think that anyone cared. I thought that if I would die, you know, everyone would just move on. People forget about me eventually. They'll be sad for a week, get over it, and move on with their lives. No one will remember me. That's how big it was.
So I just want to circle back. You go to LA. You're living the whole dream.
Yes.
You haven't dealt with any of your issues.
Mm-mm.
You come back to South Africa. It's June, July. What happens?
So I went to LA in July. I was there for 3 weeks and it was so amazing because I got to meet some of my dream producers, freaking Romeo Johnson, who works with Lady Gaga and Christina Aguilera. And
living,
I got to, I mean, you know, I was seeing so many things, meeting so many people. I was literally in the same room as Beyonce. So it was amazing. And when I got back, I was still on that high because then my first album came out in August. So I was still on that high, but every time, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, the depression is like climbing over that high. Mm. It's like it's consuming.
And you just keep pushing it away.
Yeah, keep pushing away. And then my mind literally went to a place of blanking out completely. I would forget what people say. I would literally be chatting to you now and then. I just zone out. I'm gone.
Wow.
You can ask Yaku so many times. He'll talk to me and I just don't hear what he says.
Wow.
Or we're having a conversation, I just walk up and go outside, sit in the corner, and cry.
When you realize this, and when you realize that these thoughts were turning very, very dark, and you were thinking of killing yourself, what made you decide to stop it and get the help that you needed?
Because I think I deserve more. For everything. Because it was like, it's weird. My whole life I went and I never dealt with it. And I pushed everything aside and I'm strong. But the one thing that kept running in my mind is I deserve more. I didn't ask for any of this to happen with me. I didn't ask to be pushed to the ground and, you know, squeezed the life out of me. I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask to be bullied. I didn't ask to be gay. I didn't ask for any of this. Life just threw it at me. So, and there's so much more. And the most amazing thing for me that came through all of this, when I sang with reason. It wasn't just getting on stage and you singing. When I did the Queen show, the show must go on was one of the songs, just towards the end.
That song breaks me every
time. Every time, right?
Every time.
And I knew that song my whole life. I grew up with it and I've sang it so many times because it's one of my dad's favorites as well. And I got onto the stage and I sang that song and I literally cracked at the end because I feel it now.
Yeah.
I know what it is like to.
You've lived it for the longest time. You are that character.
Exactly. And that's just the thing that, out of all of this, I just think I need to, it comes down to self-love.
Yeah.
Because I forgave everyone who did me wrong. I forgave my stepfather, you know. I even forgave my mother and my dad for the things they did to me. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, my mom was 17 when she got married to my dad. That's so young.
So young.
I don't even know who I was at 23. I'm 24 now.
Still don't know.
I'm still like, who am I? I'm turning 25. So I understand where they came from. So I had to go. I had to forgive them for the things that they've done as well.
But also realize that none of that was your fault.
Was my fault. None
Do
of
you
it.
Know that now?
I know that now.
Do you know that now?
I know that now.
Arman, did you go for therapy?
Yes.
Did you take medication? Like, what were the steps for you to get to this point today?
Yes.
Not better, but healing.
Yes. So I went, like I said, my dad and his fiance came to visit this one evening. And we were literally just talking about normal things. I wasn't even thinking about depression or anything. And the next moment, I just burst out, cried, and I said to them, I need help because I'm going to die. I need help. And honestly, I think if I didn't, and I want to say to if someone's listening today, like, you just call out and because you owe that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful I did because I wouldn't be here today if I didn't.
That bad.
It's that bad. I stood honest to God, oath to God, so many times with a knife in my hand that Yaku would get home and be scared that I'm not going to be there because it was bad. And I just went, I need help. I need help because I'm not going to be here.
Mm.
And then my dad and everyone was like, okay, well, let's take this seriously. And then I start seeing, you know, psychologists and therapists, and I'm on a medication now. So I'm not 100% there.
But you're getting there.
I'm getting there.
Do you still have those thoughts? Do you still have those feelings?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. I still have my down moments. I still have those moments where I feel like, no one loves me. But I think we all have those.
Yeah.
But I'm at least better now. At least I feel more. I never thought I would smile again. Or
wow.
I never thought I would be feeling the feeling, at least be happy again. Because nothing made me happy anymore. Nothing.
Not even your dogs.
Not even my dogs. Nothing. I love them so much.
I was going to say to you, when I was going through my depression and my lowest moments and thinking about doing and Googling, I was Googling how the best way to kill yourself is without leaving too much of a mess for people to clean up.
Like I did that.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
That makes I know this is terrible to say, but it makes me feel so much better.
but that's...
Because you don't want to leave too much trauma.
It's a real thing. I was just like, maybe I should go and sit in the bath, just cut my wrists. Because you can just
run down the drain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can clean that up easily and just take my body and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, that always made me stop was not being there for my dog.
Wow.
Yeah. Every single time. And I was at the point where I was going to take the pills and just looking at my dog, I couldn't do it. I couldn't leave him. I need to make sure that he has the best life he can. And as broken as I was, I felt like I could give that to him.
Exactly.
You know?
And you everything for them.
Yeah.
Hey, that's something I've realized. You are everything to those little creatures.
But
everything.
To get to the point that you were at where not even that was making you feel anything.
Nothing. And I mean, it was so sweet because I would sit and be so depressed and cry. And then Zeus, I've got a pit bull. His name is Zeus. He'd come to me and he would literally sit on my lap, put his two paws,
oh.
And then just put his neck in my neck and then sit there. For an hour, he would sit like that. And I'll just be there like, no one loves me. But yeah, this dog is showing me so much love.
So much love.
So, it was a dark time, but at the end of the day, you have to love yourself first.
But how do you get there? How?
Yes, I still don't know that.
How does someone who is listening to this, it's Teen Suicide Prevention Week this
week.
Wow. I know, right? I didn't even realize until today when you were coming in. And it's a problem. We know it's a problem. We are people who are in the public eye. We look like we have the best lives in the world.
Yeah.
We have everything. Mm. Everything. A roof over our heads, cars,
people who love you.
People who love you, all the support in the world, and we're still completely alone.
Mm.
For someone who doesn't have the support system that we had, or even that one friend, where do you even start? Where do you even go? What do you do?
I think at the end of the day, you just have yourself. Because I realized as well, even though I've got everything, I don't have myself.
Mm.
And people forget at the end of the day, people are always like, yeah, but you should go out of your way for other people, and you know, but you are your first priority first, because you can't give if you're empty.
Mm-hmm.
Because you remember, you also have a relationship with yourself. When you are alone at home, you need to be happy with that. When there's no music, when this load shedding has just happened,
and your phone dies,
everything, you sit there and you're like, "What's this life about?"
Yeah.
And I think honestly, I'm so thankful for social media. I'm so thankful for everything, but that is the biggest issue.
Yeah.
Also, because people go and compare.
I was just gonna ask you that. Do you do that?
I did it all the time. I had to go. I had to go, and I said on my, like on my WhatsApp, I put my red receipts off. I can't see who reads my messages. I can't see who watches my status. I said, I don't want people to see when I'm online.
Mm.
I don't watch who's looking at my stories anymore.
Wow, that's strong. I
have to do that, because I would sit there for hours and watch, oh, when is this person who's going to look at my stuff? Or when is this person going to look at my stuff? And then when they do, you feel so good about yourself all of a sudden. It's a lie, mm-hmm. you know? We're so thankful for this platform, but it's also a cloud in the air that doesn't exist. And yet, here you are being so depressed over a single like
mm-hmm.
of someone else. And then maybe someone didn't even just like it. They just accidentally tapped on it. You know what I'm saying? It's really scary. So you have to go and say, you know what Jessie J does? She actually posts, deletes her Instagram, and then she goes on when she posts again.
Wow.
How incredible is
that?
That's
incredible.
I can't do that. But
baby steps.
But baby steps. At the end of the day, you have to go and say, I love me first. And spend time and doing the little things that you like again. You have to wake up and at least have 10 minutes or half an hour for yourself.
What does that mean without your phone. What do you do?
Wake up, make myself tea, play with the dogs, go outside and feel the ground. Feel the grass, listen to the birds, listen to everything, because that is life. Social media is not life.
Mm-mm.
Work is not life. That is like a purpose. But to connect, you need to fully connect. And the most amazing thing just happened to me the other day. I just woke up and I was like, okay, so I've been through so much. Am I where I'm meant to be now? And then I was putting on incense sticks and I was meditating, and I was like, am I where I'm meant to be? Universe, am I? The next moment, there's like this bird that just flew into the house and he's struggling to get out, and the dogs want to eat it and it's going crazy, and I'm trying to help it out, but it doesn't go out. And eventually, after an hour, after things broke in the house, I got the bird out. And just as I got the bird out, ready to continue meditating, like all the butterflies started flying. That was the day when all of the butterflies started flying around Joburg. And then I went and I was like, wow, what does that mean? So I went onto Google, I said spiritual meaning for butterflies, and it says you're transforming.
Yes.
And you're exactly where you need to be. You're transitioning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, that was exactly what I needed to hear. And from there, I got peace. And even though I wasn't where I wanted to be last year, I needed to be there. Now I can sit here and say, I understand what people are going through. And I was one of the people, I was skeptic about being like depressed and stuff. I always thought people were just
weak,
looking for attention.
Mm-hmm. Even me.
And then I always say to people, don't judge, because you'll sit there.
Look. That's true.
It hit me. Yeah. I was so skeptic about it. I was so judgmental about it. I'll never, ever, ever judge anyone else again in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Even if someone kills someone else, I won't.
No.
Because you never know what people go through or what the circumstances is. You really never know.
What do you have to say to the people who are skeptical or afraid of taking the medication?
It's very scary. It is. Because there's a lot of side effects that is involved. And I mean, the first thing, I don't know if I can even say this on podcast, but the first thing the lady said to me is, you're either going to lose your sex drive or you're going to gain.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Luckily, I gained.
I'm so thankful about that.
Yeah. But I think side effects is just the worst thing, because you feel nauseous at the beginning, and it, the only thing I don't like about being on medication is it makes you feel numb.
Okay.
Some days. So, but just push through, because it's just balancing your emotions out. It's balancing it out. It's just be patient with yourself. It's not going to work in the first week. It's not.
But you're not just taking medication. You're going to therapy. You're taking medication. You're grounding yourself.
Meditating.
You're obviously looking after yourself.
Yes.
Eating right.
Water.
Not drinking. Drinking water.
Yes.
So do you think that you need to do all of these things?
You have to. You have to. And at the end of the day, when the medication period is over, you have to continue doing it. Because, and also, let go of people who don't belong in your life. Because that is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
We cling to energy that is toxic. And that just makes it worse. You need to let go of people. You need to, because the biggest thing for me is I don't want to let go of people. I always feel, and that's where I also had to go, I'm enough with just me.
Yeah.
Because I always feel so, like when someone else is not texting me, you know, the same day, or doesn't want to drink coffee with me, or I feel like they don't care about me. So you have to go. And then there's also people that are just really toxic. You should let them go.
Yeah, but you know what happens? And I found this over the last couple of months working through my own demons. Is that, and this is going to sound so terrible, I know we can't call people trash, but the trash takes itself out.
Exactly.
As soon as you start changing and you stop those behaviors that would bring the trash in,
yes,
like the binge drinking, the going to clubs, the staying out until 4 o'clock in the morning, that trash takes itself out.
It does. At the end of the day, it does.
Yeah.
And you honestly, I think I read a quote the other day that said, you know, if people are walking, thank the universe for that, because you don't have to do it. Let them go. But I always say to people as well, I also believe in redemption.
Agreed.
I also believe in second chances.
Yeah.
If something doesn't work out now, it'll work out in maybe 10 years when you've all, because at the end of the day, remember, those people that are being trashy for a reason.
They're also broken.
They're broken. And I was trashy when I was broken. I did stupid things.
We all do.
You know? So at the end of the day, broken people break people.
Yeah.
You know? So just be gentle with yourself. And if people want to come into your life again, give them a second chance. But make sure you're okay first.
So from your darkest year into, you know, there's a saying that I use all the time. It's always darkest before the dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And last year was your darkest year.
Yes, by far.
Until now. What is in store in 2020? Are things looking up? Are you feeling more positive?
Definitely. And you know what was the most amazing thing? I was like, I'm not going to go into this year forcing anything. I don't even think I'm going to be busy in January. I was just going to be like, I'm going to sit, meditate, attract what I need to attract. I've done the work. I've worked very hard. I can honestly say this from such a clean place. I know I'm one of the most hardworking people in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
I am. So I know everything will come to me. And then I wasn't expecting things. And just January, I get messages from my team saying, this is booked, this is booked, this is booked, this is booked. Everything is just happening. And I'm building great friendships, building great relationships, looking after myself. When I'm tired, I listen to myself and I switch off. Because the most of the time we hustle, and then
this hustle culture is a thing. It's a problem.
And then you don't switch off.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I felt like it was a sign. I think what today is, I'm not going to say today because obviously it's not going to. But the other day, I was working nonstop. Shot music video, had shows, everything. And then the next day I was supposed to be working. So I have a studio at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't have time for rest now. Nah, I'm going to work. And then I just felt something say to me all the time, you need to rest. You need to rest. You need to rest. Otherwise, like, it's going to force you to rest. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then the next morning I woke up and like the power was off. And then I found out the power wasn't off from load shedding. Like something happened in our complex. So I was like, I needed to listen because the universe is forcing me to sleep, rest. Because we're not born to hustle all this time. Mm-mm. You've got purpose and you need to live it out, but you also need to sleep to live it out.
Yeah.
Because if you're tired, nobody wants to see a tired singer on stage.
No, please, especially not you.
No one wants to see someone tired on stage and stuff like that. So I learned if I'm tired, I'm going to go take a nap.
Okay.
I know everyone's situations are different, but get rest. 8 hours. Minimum.
So important. Minimum. Yeah. So important.
Yeah.
For someone listening today who hasn't come out yet, they're in high school or primary school even, and they're being bullied, and they are where you were all those years ago, what steps can they take today to ensure that they don't end up where you were last year?
Go talk to someone. I know everyone says it.
Yeah.
But I'm a 24-year-old now, and I wish I did it earlier. Because if you do not talk to someone, you're going to end up just breaking yourself.
Mm.
Go talk to someone, get help, and go address that bully. They need to be kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also, we need to start taking action.
Yes, agreed.
If people are making stupid decisions, they need to bear the consequences. If that bully is bullying you, they need to be expelled from school.
Yeah.
So go talk. Because at the end of the day, when that bully is moving on with their life, you're going to be broken. You're going to sit and you're going to be broken. So talk. Talk and speak out. Stand up for yourself. You need to. Sometimes we have to be cruel to be kind.
Yeah.
But you got to do it. Speak out. Go see someone. And just if, because I know at that moment you're like, ah, now I'll be fine. But at the end of the day, like I say, your body never forgets what happens to you. So if you're being bullied or being treated in a way that you shouldn't be, go for therapy. Talk to your parents.
You know that it's wrong. You can feel it, even though the voices in your head are telling you it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. There's that feeling inside that you know something's not right. When you get that, listen to it.
Exactly, because you won't sleep at night. You won't. And most of the schools, as I know, have people that the children can go and talk to.
Yeah, counselors or a trusted teacher.
Yeah, go and talk to them. And if they don't want to listen, speak up. Like, start a movement at school against bullying.
I love that.
We need to stop it. And at the end of the day, also, those bullies need attention too, because something's going wrong at home.
Yeah.
Because there was a time, this is one of the things I'm most ashamed of saying, where I bullied someone.
Same.
I went full out on this guy because he was weaker than I was, smaller than I was. And I was hurt because I've been just hit by my stepfather. I'm being bullied at school. So I went at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit him so hard. It was terrible. And I regret it till this day.
Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah. So take care of yourself and also take care of others.
And for the 24-year-old that has Googled how to kill himself or herself, what message do you have for that person?
Yo, it's so hard because at that moment, nothing goes to your mind. And everything everyone says is just like, yes, I've heard it.
Mm.
I've heard it before. I literally said to my dad and to my parents and everyone, I said, don't talk to me about religion. Don't talk to me about it's going to be okay. Don't, because it's not.
Yeah.
And I think all that you need to know is this is where you are right now. And even though it's the worst place to be, it is the lowest point. So you can't go lower than that. So deal with it. Pick up the pieces. No, don't even pick up the pieces. Move forward. Your nose points forward.
Mm.
Your ears are pointing forward. Don't look back. Leave the pieces and build new ones. Just go forward. I know it's not easy. And be in that moment. If you need to cry, cry. If you need to shout, shout. Don't kill people, but
just don't kick the dog.
No. But just deal with it. It's not easy and it's terrible because you feel, and it's weird because you feel like such a failure.
Yeah.
I'm so stupid because I feel so depressed. I'm so ridiculous. Yeah. But be there in that moment and get over it.
And get help.
Get help and cry out and have friends. Have friends. And sometimes I what I find helps for me is sometimes just talking to someone you don't know that well.
Mm.
You know, there was this one time I was at an event, and everyone knows me normally when I'm at events. I'm so loud, and anyway, I'm out there. And then I was just sitting there and watching everyone. I'm like, you guys are looking so ridiculous. And I was just sitting there. I was just feeling so sorry for myself. And this lady came to me. She's like, what's wrong? And I didn't know her. You don't even know what's her name. And I talked to her.
And you told her?
I told her everything.
Wow.
And then she told me stuff about her. Well, she was a bit drunk. And she was crying about...
Oh, my gosh.
She was crying about her husband and the divorce. And but we talked.
Mm.
At the end of the day, we're all humans and we connected in some way. So if you just... If you see someone you connect with, talk to them. It doesn't have to be someone you know.
Mm.
Because I fully believe in... I fully believe in everything happens for a reason. There's no such thing as coincidence.
Agreed.
Nothing. Everything is energy. So talk to someone. That's the first step. I can't promise anything, but just talk. Yeah.
You are amazing. And this podcast is a blessing.
You are amazing. You are amazing.
Thank you for sharing this story. I think it's going to help a lot of people from young to old.
Yes.
Because you are such an inspiration for so many.
Thank you.
And I don't think we realize that even the people that we look up to are heroes, the people that seem to have it all together. Sometimes they're sitting in a bathroom with a locked door just crying.
Exactly. We're all broken.
Yep.
We all are. Even if you just going through something little, it's there are other people that's going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like... It's fine. We don't have to be happy all the time.
No, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. I always say to people, I don't want to be around people that are positive the whole time because it feels so
put on
shallow.
Yeah.
You know?
Trying to
at the end of the day, like, I don't say be negative, but if you look at batteries, if you want to light up a torch or something, there's negative and positive.
Yeah.
You can't put two positive batteries in and it'll
no.
work. It's going to drain each other.
You have to have
the negative and positive, but learn from the negative.
You are so wise. This is why you are so good.
Thank you. I feel like, you know what? I'm going to have gray. Well, I have blonde hair already. I'm going to have gray hair with all this learning in life. But yeah, it's good. It's good. Rather deal with it now than spending the rest of your life even taking longer to get where you're supposed to be. Because most of the time you're like, why am I not where I'm supposed to be? Because you haven't dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, the universe can't bring things to you when you're not ready. You have to go deal with it now so you can move on. And the moment you're dealing with it, you'll just see so many things opening up. And people leaving, but that's needed.
Because
you can't move forward with people holding you back. And I literally saw a picture of someone holding onto a rope. And the rope is like pulling.
Yeah.
And your hand gets...
It gets cut and bleeding.
Cut in. Yeah. You need to let go.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Thank you for this.
Thank you.